From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet, and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We've assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. And if you missed last hour, well, I'll just go ahead and repeat that this is going to be my last broadcast where I am in Puerto Rico for a while because, well, things are so crazy and busy and insane and fun in Asheville in October. It's kind of the ultimate Halloween destination, so I am heading back up to Asheville, and the next new show that we do will be out of Asheville, but we're going to have ghost hunts and ghost tours, and who knows what things will crop up during the month of October, and of course leading into the holidays. Go to hauntedasheville.com if you would like to participate, and especially if you would like to take one of the special tours that I am personally going to guide in October. You have to buy your ticket right now online in advance. And, yes, we are already selling out on those five dates, but you'll find all the info at hauntedasheville.com. So we're going to have sort of special Halloween themed shows for you in October, as we have done over the past 10 years. And it seemed tonight would be maybe a fun time to look into that area, which always is sort of swirling around the edges of Halloween time when we start looking into the otherworldly realms. Yes, fortune telling. And we're going to kind of go down a little list tonight, talking about some of the more popular kind of fortune-telling approaches. We're going to start with astrology here tonight. Of course, we have producer Sam in the studio, along with investigator Shelley Wright there in Asheville. And we are going to do a little ESP psychic experiment live on the air. But I will tell you all right off the bat, as a guy who has spent most of my life looking into mysterious stuff and investigating fortune telling and whatnot, I think that one of the reasons that we in this day and age often give kind of a negative flavor or a bad rap to fortune telling is because it's one thing when it comes to predicting somebody's future, but a lot of it is just about how to evaluate another person. So that means when you're talking about somebody's horoscope, or you're reading somebody's palm, or reading somebody's aura, what you're essentially doing is profiling them and judging them. And that is just not a politically correct thing to do these days. And yet, I think many of you know that there could be some legitimacy to it. I mean, you know, we do judge each other. We kind of have to, and frankly, to a certain extent, we should. I mean, when you're walking down the street at night and you see a person coming the other way, you can't help it. You look at that person and you size up a variety of variables there, and you make a determination about what's going to happen when you walk by that person. Is it just going to be a nod and how you doing, have a nice evening, or is this going to be somebody who's going to come up and harass you? Is this going to be somebody who's a danger to you? You, as a part of a creature who has lived as long as you have to take into account that judging and profiling people it can be a smart thing to do within boundaries. And yet, when it comes to something like astrology, it breaks it down so specifically that some people are very uncomfortable about this. And so I started reading up a little bit on, you know, what exactly is the history of astrology. And I have some information here in front of me. And let me just tell you right off the bat that we do live in a universe. Key part here being uni. It's one interconnected, to some degree, homogeneous field of energy that we're all living in. And so I believe everything is interconnected. So that means when you are born, you know, when you pop out of the womb or something like that, what is happening during that period of time throughout the entire cosmos may have a connection, because it's all sort of a snapshot of the same moment in time. And we don't have the scientific understanding to determine how that the arrangements of the stars could be a reflection of how you're going to turn out. But after thousands of years of trial and error, people who have studied the stars are the ones who have sort of relied on them to say, there's a pattern emerging here. People who are born when the stars look like this tend to turn out like that, et cetera, et cetera. Again, an unpopular notion of profiling. But I'm guilty of saying, all right, if I ask you what is your sign, and I know, and mind you, I'm not some professional astrologer, and I don't know a lot about how to break it down specifically. I know most of the time we just go off of sun signs, but still, in my own experience, I believe that I am able to kind of size certain people up in terms of what they're more or less likely to do based on that. Now, I should also say my birthday is October 25th. I am a Scorpio. My mother is a Scorpio. My sister is a Scorpio. My mother-in-law is a Scorpio. Shelley Wright in the studio, you are a Scorpio. You probably know a lot of Scorpios also, don't you, Shelley?
I do.
Yeah. Any of your close relatives Scorpios?
Actually, I have a cousin that was born on the same day. We are the first grandchild and first great-grandchild, and we were born on the same day.
Oh, okay. So I have lived my life just surrounded by all these Scorpio women. And I believe that I do see certain, you know, patterns among Scorpio women. One of those things would be, for example, an open-mindedness toward the spiritual. I think all of these people who I would consider Scorpio women, they tend to look a little bit deeper below the surface, and they are very accepting. So, like, for example, I don't know a Scorpio woman who is an atheist who just believes everything's mechanical. You know, I'm sure that now that I say that, I'll probably get emails from Scorpio women who say, I'm an atheist. But most of them that I've met, they're really interested in the dark and sort of mysterious realms. Would you say that's accurate, Shelley?
I definitely would.
Yeah. So when I look at some of this material about astrology, the word astrology comes from the early Latin word astrologia, and it basically means account of the stars. And it later sort of progressed into the meaning star divination. Astrology has been dated to at least the second millennium BCE, with roots in all kinds of calendar systems used to predict seasonal shifts, to interpret signs of divine communications. Apparently, it was first practiced in the first dynasty of Mesopotamia. We're going back here, you know, like almost 2,000 years BC. Chinese astrology was elaborated in the Xu dynasty, which goes back to over 1,000 years BC. And one thing that you may not realize is that throughout the history of mankind, for most of that history, astrology was considered a scholarly tradition. It was accepted in political and academic contexts, and it was connected with other studies like astronomy, alchemy, meteorology, medicine, and it was not until about the end of the 1600s, as the 17th century came in, that new sort of scientific concepts in astronomy and physics started calling astrology into question. And so it's interesting to me that we have this rather brief sort of flash in the pan period that we now have, we call, you know, the scientific era, where we don't take these things seriously, but for most of the history of humankind, people have thought there was something to it. And, you know, again, it boils down to the idea that there are cycles that people go through, and there's a relationship between the moment that you are born and the moment when other characteristics in the universe are reflected within you. Sam, what is your sign?
I'm a Gemini, Cancer rising, June 21st, summer solstice. I identify more with the Cancer as I am a soft sense. If I'm a crab, I'm the soft, buttery interior and not the hard shell.
So how do you feel about astrology, Sam? Do you think there's something to it?
Yeah, yes and no. You know, I read one time a study that a college professor, you know, got all of his students' astrological signs and then handed out horoscopes, but they were all exactly the same. And he's like, so how much of this did you identify with? And they were like, oh, my gosh, it was like this was tailor-made for me. And he's like, yeah, they're all the same. And, I mean, yeah. So I think a lot of times you can read into it what you want to. But I do think that, like, Scorpio women, for instance, also, you know, are more, you know, sexual in a way. I think that Cancers are more sensitive. And, you know, I think certain ones display more traits of, you know, certain things, artisticness or gruffness or what have you.
Well, those who criticize astrology, they say that usually astrologers have a small knowledge of astronomy. They're not taking into account basic features like the precession of the equinoxes. One expert said there's a difference of about 22,000 miles between Earth's location on any specific date and two successive years, and so therefore they should not be under the same influence according to astrology. But on the other hand, well, they're looking at this from a very linear Newtonian perspective, and you know, there's no way that we're going to be able to prove anything about that. I've given you my opinion, but when we come back, we are going to do an experiment, and we're going to try to prove something. I don't know if we're going to try to prove. We're just going to play around with something related to telepathy, mind-to-mind communication. Stick around for this. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
From a cold steel rail, a smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell?
Hey, welcome back to Speaking of Strange, a show where the unusual becomes usual. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, the place where your money becomes more money, and you can go in there and find the Scorpio Miss Shelley Wright. If you go to WrightsCoinShop.com, there's a map and all kinds of other good stuff, including, yes, for all you fans, even a photograph of Miss Shelley Wright. But you know what? If you go to SpeakingOfStrange.com, you'll also find a link to our buddy Christopher over at Christopher's Computers, because, you know, again, I'm here in Puerto Rico, and the reason this feed is coming through to you right now is because we are using a computer from Christopher's Computers. And if you have any computer issue, if you have a virus, or your computer's just running slow and sluggish, or maybe you just want to get a new computer, I know it's intimidating. You don't know who to trust, because computer people, they always know more than you do, and they're always trying to take advantage of you. So let me give you my word. If you call Christopher over at Christopher's Computers, he'll give you a square deal, and you'll be very happy. So you can go to ChristophersComputers.com or just call him up. Here's the number. Write it down, 828-670-9800. Again, that's 828-670-9800, or go to ChristophersComputers.com, and obviously there's no apostrophe S there, ChristophersComputers.com.
Or just find them on Merriman, right past the Wendy's.
There you go, right next to Wendy's. Everybody knows where that is, in the Asheville area. So, okay, we're going to talk a little bit about ESP, and, you know, one of the favorite interviews that I have done in my whole radio career was an interview with Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon. And mind you, of conventional mainstream history, only 12 people have ever walked on the moon.
So they say.
Yeah, so they say. And they were all men. And if you compare that number, 12, to all the people who have lived on the Earth since then, I don't even know how small that percentage is. It's one of the most exclusive elite groups ever. And so to interview a person who has walked on the moon was just, you know, a wonderful, mind-boggling honor. But even more, he, you know, my mind was blown just to interview him, but he took it to the next level. He actually told me during the interview, which we play from time to time in best ofs, that before he went to the moon, that he was briefed by the government on the fact that there are at least four different types of humanoid aliens. And I went by humanoid, you know, I'm talking things that look similar to you and me. And the only reason that he would have been told that is because there was a chance he might encounter them. I mean, it's incredible stuff. And, you know, we play this interview from time to time, and every time I'm thinking, like, is this connecting with people? Are they understanding the significance? So Dr. Edgar Mitchell, he is a guy who has a much more open mind and than the average person. And yet, he, when you talk to him, he's so scholarly, he's so rational. I mean, there's nothing to lead you to believe that this guy's imagination is out of control. But he said that on his way back from the moon, when he actually had like a moment to relax, when he wasn't all task-focused and nervous about all the things they had to cram into every second on the way to the moon, that he had what he could only describe as a mystical experience, where there was a moment when, you know, he's looking at Earth and he's out beyond the Earth's gravitational field, and just the whole significance of the entire cosmos just hit him at once. And it's not surprising, therefore, that he would be the only astronaut who has been to the moon who also engaged in a psychic experiment. This was on Apollo 14, a 9-day mission, January of 1971. And he said, and I have this information in front of me here, my experiment involved four transmission sessions during rest periods programmed into the flight. The well-known experiment in the laboratory was to use cards with the five Zener symbols. Now, let me pause here for a second. This has relevance to North Carolina because North Carolina is where you find the Rhine Research Center, which was derived from the parapsychology lab at Duke University. Dr. J.B. Rhine in the 1940s and 50s made big headlines by producing some of the first really credible experiments with psychic phenomena. And there were a set of cards. They now call them ESP cards, but one of his colleagues was named Zener, and so a lot of people call them Zener cards, and there's a bit of a controversy over that. But basically, the cards had five symbols. You had the circle, a square, a triangle, wavy lines, and a star. So five different symbols. And you would try to just pick a symbol and telepathically transmit it. But Edgar Mitchell said, the cards are not important. It was easier for me to use random number tables than carry physical cards. So he said, instead, all I did was to generate four tables of 25 random numbers just using the numbers 1 to 5. So you got five cards. So instead of the symbols, just use the numbers 1 to 5. So he says, for each transmission, I would then check the particular table of random numbers and think about the corresponding symbol. So he said, I did this when I was ready to go to sleep at night. We had sleeping bag hammocks that we would put underneath the couches. As far as the results are concerned, he says, since there are five symbols or numbers, chance guessing would be 1 of 5 or 20%. So Mitchell reported that two subjects performed better than chance and two performed worse than chance. So what they're saying basically is that, well, this probably evened out to not much better than just mere chance. But nonetheless, he did this experiment when he was 250,000 miles from Earth or thereabouts, because, you know, he was traveling back and forth. The moon is approximately 250,000 miles from Earth. So here I am in Puerto Rico, and I did some calculations, and I thought that I was about 1,500 miles away. But sure enough, if you go as the crow flies from Asheville to Cabo Rojo, which is where you'll find the Bermuda Triangle Research Base, I'm about 1,535 miles right now from both Sam and Shelley at the Asheville station. So, given the model that Edgar Mitchell used, I figured, hey, let's keep this simple, and let's just go with the numbers 1 through 5. So what we're going to do here is a couple of attempts at a transmission here, and then, you know, we'll take a break, and then maybe we'll reverse this. So we'll start with me trying to transmit information to both Sam and Shelley, and then maybe after the break, they'll be able to transmit some information back to me. So let's see. Our break is coming up in like a couple minutes. So
you got about 45 seconds or so.
45 seconds,
well,
okay.
Well, actually, I'm sorry, about a minute and a half. I apologize. The crow flies.
Well, in that case, Shelley and Sam, right now, I have picked a number. The number is either 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. So mere chance, again, says there's, you know, 20% odds or whatever. What I would like for both of you to do is grab something to write on. Clearly do not talk to each other.
Okay.
And I want you to write down a number, either 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And I am mentally, telepathically projecting this to you right this moment. And we're going to let this sink in during the break. And when we come back, we're going to see if you guys have picked up on the number that I'm sending you from the Bermuda Triangle base all the way to Asheville. And who knows, all of you listening, you should play along as well. Write it down yourself, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. I'm projecting one of those numbers. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange. Becomes usual, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you may call them at 828-298-5402. That's 828-298-5402. I am Joshua P. Warren. And before we get back into this, I also just want to remind you that if you go to joshuapwarren.com and you watch the little video there about the wishing machine, you're going to see why that we have shipped almost 1,000 of these to countries all around the world. And, in fact, I have a whole stack of positive feedback in front of me. Here's a very short one from a man named Joe Flores, Houston, Texas. He says, I am straight amazed at all the good things that have happened in my life and will hopefully continue since first learning about you and your wishing machine. Up until 2 months ago, I was hopeless. Now, not anymore. I'm going to give you a little bit more information on that later, but go to joshuapwarren.com. Just watch the video about the wishing machine. And if you go to the wishing machine website, which is wishingmachineproject.com, and you click around, on the news section, you're going to find a link to a free good luck charm that I am providing for you that you can instantly download. And instead of trying to explain how it works and why it works, you can read my whole explanation there on the site. And I'm not joking around. I'm telling you seriously. If you go to wishingmachineproject.com, you click the news section, and you click the link there to the free charm, I want you to write down on your calendar, I'm going to call this the Free Charm Challenge. I want you to write down on your calendar the date that you got this free charm and started using it. And if ever in your future you decide to stop using it, before you do that, I want you to go back and find that date and tell me, email me, and tell me if your life has not improved dramatically, okay? As a matter of fact, you can go directly to the site. Go to freecharm.com, F-R-E-E, freecharm.com. And this is my gift to you because I think it's good karma for me. Okay, guys, we're talking about ESP and psychic stuff. As you know, I thought of a number. It could be either 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. There's no funny business going on here. I have my number written down in front of me. Sam, what number do you think it is?
I wrote down on my piece of paper, and then there was no funny business. Me and Miss Wright talked about kittens. We did not talk about anything else.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I have written on my piece of paper 4.
Okay. And Shelley Wright, what number did you write down?
5.
Okay, my number is 5.
Woo!
So, therefore, we could say, possibly, telepathically transmitted a number over 1,500 miles from my head to the Asheville studio. Sam, 4 is close, but
I was going to say, you know, geniuses typically can't telepathically connect with one another.
That makes total sense. Though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, Sam, I want you to come up with a number, and we'll just do this right now. It's got to be the same deal. 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, you come up with a number, you write it down.
Okay, I'm doing so right now.
Okay, and I have my guess. Shelley, what do you, you have your guess?
Yes.
Okay, Shelley, all right, Shelley, what do you think his number is?
2.
Okay, I think his number is 3. Sam?
Once again, my genius overrides both y'all because it was neither. It was 1.
Ah.
Wow. Okay. All right. 1. So, Shelley, it's your turn now. I want you to come up with a number and write it down and transmit it to me and Sam. Shelley, have you written it?
Yes.
Okay. Send it down. Okay. I'll go first. I think the number is 4. Sam, what do you think it is?
I wrote down 1.
It was okay. 3.
So what does this prove? Does this prove that, you know, because if we were doing 1 through 10, that would be a 10% odd. 1 through 5, like you said, a 20% chance that you just randomly choose right, you know.
Here's what it proves. I, as the host of the show, have such a powerful mind that it can be picked up by perceptive people. Okay, well, let's do one more round, okay?
All right.
Okay, so I will now pick a number again. It could be 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
I'm gonna send it hard. I want you to think about me sitting behind this mic, okay?
Okay.
Send it to me.
All right, so I've written it down, and I've circled it in front of me, and I'm looking at it right now. And all of you playing along at home or in your car can participate. I am here in Puerto Rico, and I am looking at this number in the circle. Okay, Sam, what do you think it is?
I want you to know, I had my eyes shut the whole time. I was trying to communicate with you. I thought it was 5.
Okay, and Shelley, what do you think it is?
1.
The number is 3.
Dodd.
We kind of suck.
I mean, what is it? Does this mean that we are bad? Does this mean that the theory
yes,
is not proven?
Yes. Yeah, it means that I'm perfect and you suck.
Okay, great.
Somehow that statistically works out. Okay, but no, seriously, I don't know. I'm not. We'll let a statistician figure all this out. All I know is so far we've only had 1 hit, so it's
luckily,
not looking good.
Luckily, my dad is the statistician.
Yeah, your dad can figure out the math here, but I don't think we even need him at this point.
Now, is there any other? I'm not disproving your theory. I think that this is possible. Like I do think that the mind can do things. What do you think about what was it? Karnak? Who was the guy that would bend Kreskin?
Uri Geller or something?
Yeah, the guy who would bend spoons with his mind.
Yeah, Uri Geller. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, do you believe that? Yeah. Like, do you think that you can do stuff of that nature, like move objects? The mind is a very powerful thing that we are not tapped into.
Well, you know what's interesting, Sam, is and I swear to God I'm telling you the truth right now, okay? Right now I'm looking at 3 spoons in front of me, and they're all bent to crap because I've been doing magic tricks with them.
I know how to do spoon bending magic tricks, and I learned that because I watched a bunch of Uri Geller videos, and I like, you know, it's a fun thing to do. So I'm not saying that Uri Geller can't do it or anybody else can't do it, but I know how to do it as a magic trick, and so far I need a little more proof to believe that it can be done.
Okay, but I mean, like the you know, we only utilize what they say 10% of our brains or whatever. It's okay. Well, we'll give you 12. But it's like you can do a lot more. The mind is a very powerful thing, and you know, you can control people with your mind. I mean, explain cult leaders and stuff of that nature.
All right. Well, look, we got a couple minutes before our next break. Let's do this experiment. We have to finish this round out, and because the next thing I want to talk about is auras. Okay, Sam, you come up with a number. The same deal. 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
Okay.
Okay, I'm writing down mine. Shelley, do you have yours?
Yes.
Okay, I say it's 2.
4.
Shelley? Sam?
Josh, we communed.
Did we finally do it?
We just did it.
Oh, my.
We just did it. Does that mean we're like going out now?
So I've connected with both you and Shelley. All right, Shelley, now we got to finish this chapter out. You write down your number.
Okay.
You have it, Shelley?
Yeah.
I'm communing. I'm communing. Sam, I'm staring at Shelley's chest.
Okay. So, all right. Well, that's where all is transmitted from.
No, it wasn't really.
It's the heart chakra. It's not the. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say it is 1. Sam, what do you say?
3.
You're both
Shelley,
wrong.
What is it?
It's 5.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think this means that I am a better transmitter. Because both of you have picked up on something that I've transmitted. Right?
Yes.
Much like the space waves that were floating around. The transmissions were picked up.
Yeah, but I have not picked up on either of your transmissions. But both of you have picked up on my transmissions. So, you know, it's just, they say, again,
covered in your transmissions.
We're pretty tired.
This is all for the sake of entertainment, but it is a fun thing to do. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to tell you a bit about auras. And why that, no kidding, when I was a kid, my mom took me to the eye doctor because I was seeing things that were weird. And this is way before I knew anything about the psychic and the paranormal. I'll explain when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Yes, welcome to the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and mind you, next hour we call the Dark 30 Hour, and that's because we are in the period known as Safe Harbor, when we are able to talk about some of the more controversial and outrageous news, some of the more sordid and seedy stuff, not appropriate for kiddies, not appropriate for the easily offended, and so you may or may not want to stick around for that. Here in this final segment, I mentioned before the break, well, it's true. When I was a kid, long before I knew anything about my destiny as the Wizard of Weird, I told my mom one day that I wondered what this kind of strange glow was that you could see around certain people and objects. And she goes, "What are you talking about?" And the more I explained it, the more concerned my mother became. Because my mom has always been, you know, really big about taking me and my sister to the doctor and making sure everything was up to par health-wise. And so my mom took me right to the eye doctor to make sure I didn't have a problem. And the eye doctor gave me every test he could, and he said, you know, your eyes are fine. So at that point, it was kind of blown off, like everything was okay. But then the reality is I would continue to see these auras of light, and it's not something that I talk about a lot. You'd think that I would, given my line of work, but I've always had a natural ability to see the aura. And as time has gone on, I've researched it more and more, and I've been able to advance the technique so that if I choose at certain times, I can see colors. And one of the reasons I don't talk about it that much is that, you know, when you announce, like, "I can see the aura," well, suddenly you have a whole line of people outside your door saying, "What does mine look like? What does mine look like?" And I have enough to do without giving everybody an aura reading. But I was curious about, you know, how to interpret the colors of the aura. And ultimately, it kind of makes a lot of sense, because if you think about it, well, there are people who are colorblind. They can't see as much as the rest of us, so to speak, in terms of color. And so why shouldn't there be people who are just the opposite, who can see a little more color? Now, whether or not that translates into a psychic interpretation is, you know, debatable. But you have to think about it, you know, why is a color a certain color? Well, it is because of the wavelength and frequency of the light. So that is to say, if I can look at a person, and when that person gets angry, that person produces sort of, you know, low frequency light, and we know that that produces the color red, and I look at that person and see the color red, well, I can say, this person's angry. Or if I look at a person and I see a brownish patch, and I know that that means that a lot of colors are, you know, frequencies are being muddled, well, I can say, well, maybe there's something blocking the light here. So there is this ability to look at it from a kind of analytic, clinical point of view. And I have done a lot of experiments over the years that I won't go into all of them on this little short segment here, but things that have convinced me by testing not only myself, but other people who can see the aura, that this is something that has a basis in reality. Because when you break out instruments that can measure the human bioenergy field, what you will easily find is that you don't just end at the boundaries of your body that are visible. I mean, your body extends far beyond that, sometimes 10, 15 feet, depending on the scenario. And there are a lot of things involved in how far it does stretch. The atmospheric conditions play a role in how far that energy field goes. But it's kind of like when you were a kid in school, maybe they showed you a model of an atom and they said, you know, here's this little circle with a bunch of little circles swirling around it. And when you look at a more realistic picture, it's more like a cloud cloudy particles with other cloudy particles kind of moving around them in various three-dimensional shells. And that's kind of what a human looks like. A human looks like a nucleus with all these different sort of shells of colors sort of swirling around them. And so there is a way of interpreting that stuff. And fortunately for me, I've always been able to kind of choose when I want to switch it on or off. But I'm telling you, if that's a psychic ability, okay, I've got a psychic ability. But I think all people can be trained to do this. And as a matter of fact, in the near future, I think I want to have a workshop where I talk to people about how to do this. But that said, we're going to take our break. When we come back, yes, it will be time to take our conversation from the pinnacle of humankind's enlightenment right down into the gutter. Into the deepest pit of mankind's depravity. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The Dark 30 Hour is coming up soon on the show that is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and it's called Speaking of Strange. 13 months old.